Hello, hello, everybody. I was going through and editing up this show, and for some reason the intro music wouldn't work. And now I can't write, record a pre-intro without starting a whole new project and then importing that. So, been a bit of an interesting Saturday morning editing up everything. But yeah, today's show with Haley was fantastic. Got me at my eyes open to the concept of LinkedIn. Using it for lead gen. I really need to clean up my LinkedIn profile after chatting with her. And she just gives some nuggets away and some promo stuff. So definitely listen in for her free advice and her different websites. And yeah, let's get right into it. Oh, wait, one more thing. Be sure to check out the podcast, subscribe to it, share it, tag me on social media, but also on YouTube. Same thing, Josh Bolton Show. I have this video posted and I chopped it up into like 5 minute chunks. So I'm looking for your guys' input and review. All right. Other than that, thank you. Have a wonderful day and let's get right into it. Welcome, everybody. We have Haley Rowe on. We were just chatting earlier and I was one of those, I got so excited with the chat. I kept going and then we're like, oops. But yeah, awesome lady already. Love her energy, her smart, beautiful woman. Wait, I'm gonna just ramble. Take it away, Haley.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me. I am Haley Rowe. I'm a marketing and sales coach and podcast host of Health Coach Nation, which is a show for coaches who want to grow their business. And then I also do LinkedIn lead generation services for B2B service providers who want to get more collab opportunities, discovery calls, and clients using LinkedIn.
I think most people using LinkedIn want that. So that's going to be a very big one we're going to get into. But I didn't know about the podcast part. How long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so I have had a podcast since right around late 2017, early 2018. And initially, I wasn't super consistent. I was pretty consistent, but not, the best with it. But over time now, we have an episode every week, and it's been going ever since.
Nice. It's just, are you interviewing different coaches or is it more like a solo or like, okay, this is what I know, this is what you should do kind of thing?
It's a combination. I have some guests on things like client attraction and marketing, sales, time management, mindset. And then I also have solo episodes on those things.
Perfect. Perfect blend. That's awesome. So, wow, almost what, like 5-ish, 6-ish years now?
Yeah.
A visual map's not my strength, so I'm trying to stay here. But that's awesome. And then so the LinkedIn part, we were talking about this earlier, and this is where we had to like put the pause in. You have this whole method of turning a cold to warm lead. Can we start with the first layer of it?
Yeah, for sure. So I have a system I call the four basics of client attraction. And it's basically the process you would use when you're picking a marketing strategy. And once you have that decided, you now have to have a process for taking those cold leads to clients. And so to kind of make it more simple and less overwhelming, it really comes down to connecting, engaging, making a pre-offer, which I'll explain what that is, and then the sales process. So obviously, not every lead is going to make it all the way through all four steps, but they are there for you. And sometimes people will stay in one step longer and then move to the next one or, that kind of stuff. So the first step with the connecting, what I mean by that is you want to be putting yourself in front of your ideal client. So a lot of times people wait and hope that people will come to them. Like they'll be like, oh, I have a website. And they'll think that that's good enough for people to just start coming to them. But the truth is, we have to be the ones to take the lead in the beginning of our businesses and connect with our ideal clients. So that might look like sending a connection request on LinkedIn. That might look like, engaging with somebody on Instagram. It can look like going to a networking event, but you need to decide what's going to be your connection method, right? And then you want to engage. So at this point, what you're going to do is get an interest in other people. And rather than thinking, what's in it for me right now, you're thinking about how can I get to know this person and how can I ask perhaps an intentional question that allows me to know what they're doing, how I might be able to help them in the future. So a random question would be something like, hey, what's your favorite color? Like, that's not an intentional question that can really cause growth in the way that you want within a relationship. But if you're going to ask something like, hey, it's great to connect. I saw we both follow so-and-so, or we both are coaches or whatever. Would love to know what you're working on these days or something like that. So then you can get a grasp on what's important to them. What are they working on? Is there any ways you can connect them with somebody or help or ask a deeper question to go somewhere with the conversation? And then you want to move to the pre-offer phase. So this part is where you're going to ask permission to help. So if they've shared something with you that you feel like you could offer a resource, or you have a podcast episode on that, or you have a free training coming up or something, you could be like, hey, I have a free blah, blah, blah coming up. And would you be interested in attending? It might help with your upcoming launch or something like that. So that's the next stage. And then the last stage would be the sales process. So once you have a pre-offer, like once you've given value upfront or results ahead of time in your free training or your free checklist or your podcast episode or whatever, then you can see, do they want to go deeper? Do they want to hop on a discovery call, or do they want to check out your sales page or whatever it is? So overall, that's kind of the overview of the basics. And I do have, if you want to share with your audience, I have a free LinkedIn script example for both collaborations and potential client conversations that we could put in the show notes, or you can DM me on Instagram or something at Haley_Rowe if you want the link to that.
Yeah, share me the link, and I'll also put your Instagram. So if they one of those, they'll just DM you too.
Cool. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'll be sitting here like, I actually want to review it.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love that.
Awesome. So then what for the, is it more a game of volume or like deeper connections? Because like, Gary Vee says, just blast 100 people every day until something hits. A lot of people are telling me now, no, you need to like actually get to know the person.
Yeah. I think it depends on which marketing method you're choosing. So I think it's more about quality. And if you can pre-qualify your leads, like if you know, wow, I look at this person's profile and I see my ideal client and I see that they're struggling with something, or even better, if you can prioritize the leads who are raising their hand on your quote unquote pre-offer posts, like posts where you are sharing your freebie or posts where you are asking a question to see if people want to engage or come to your free training or something, those are way higher priority to connect with and way more quality leads because they've already indicated they're interested. So my suggestion would be focus on first, if we had to prioritize, the warmest leads you already have. So people who've already signed up for your Facebook group or your email list or whatever, or have raised their hand that they want your freebie or something like that in a post. And then you would maybe be building new relationships. And that, of course, sure, there is a numbers game to it, which is why, like, as a LinkedIn person for my clients, we're sending out the maximum, you know, 200 connection requests a week so that you can save time and build those quality relationships after that, and at least have the invites going out to your ideal clients. Right. And we do targeting with Sales Navigator. So it's like better quality than just like, oh, random person we found, you know? So there's that. But at the same time, you don't want to just blast something, you know, I think Gary Vee has a point too. Obviously the more you do, the more that naturally is going to stick. But if you send out 100 messages asking what's your favorite color, going back to like the intention behind it, mm-hmm. Again, it's not like that's a waste of time, right? So I do think quality does matter if you can.
Yeah. Lately, especially for me, a lot of people have been emailing me to come on the show. And a lot of them are very generic. Oh, I love your show. Love this, blah, blah, blah. I have a guest for you. And it's kind of like, did you actually listen to it though? And then it's the one, the few who are like, hey, I at least listen to this one. You have a really good base and foundation on how you interview people. I think so-and-so would be a good guest. Those I listen to. So I agree with the quality.
Well, and that's a good point. Like you have to ask yourself, how can I stand out to this person? So I got an email. I get cold emails all the time too, just like you. And somebody was like, hey, like they made me a personal video and a really good offer. They were like, hey, could I send you two Instagram post captions for your posts so you can see my copywriting and see how I'd write for you and your brand voice and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, sure. Like, yeah, I want to see that. It was hard to say no to because I was like, well, what's the downside? I can just check this out. And if they're great, maybe they could be a team member or something. But
right.
Point being, they took the time to see how can they stand out. And you can always, you know, voice notes stand out more than written. You know, personalizing the name stands out more than somebody who just sends something generic. So there's like little ways you can stand out, but then there's also big ways you can stand out with like a really great pre-offer.
Yeah. Well, like the biggest one to this day, and I still push his services. He's gone up, but it's still worth it. The podcast site I use on Podium. Mm-hmm. He actually like took the time and listened to like 10 of my episodes and quoted each episode. Awesome. And I was like, oh damn, whatever he's offering, he's serious about it kind of thing.
I love that. Yeah.
Right. And that's where, then he said, yeah, cause, you'll be grandfathered in at this rate, but like, as long as you pay your bills. And I was like, hey, he made it, but this is the quality pre-offer he did. That's why I'm like, he built a demo site for me. So he's like, here, this is what yours would look like. If you love like that. It messaged me. And I just sat there like, wow, this, even if it was automated, this is like high quality stuff kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, that guy probably does less offers a day, but they're quality offers. And so he probably gets a higher conversion rate. But if you go in, if he went in with the mindset like, oh, I'm going to do this for all these people, and then I'm going to feel resentment, and then I'm going to be like upset that none of them signed up for anything, he wouldn't stick with that very long. He
would no.
probably burn out. So I think another thing to just address is that your mindset in doing this has to be clean and pure and, you know, looking to serve and not like coming from like, I'm going to burn myself out and resentment and whatever, because I've seen that happen too, where people are like, well, I did these and I got X back. And I think there's going to be X number of, you know, return on your time and investment. But I also think overall, the seeds you're planting long term come back to you in different ways and forms. And if you're attached to it coming back in a very certain way, you're setting yourself up for burnout and failure.
It's like the hamster running on the wheel. You're like, it'll eventually move. You're like, nope, never yeah. will.
Yeah.
So what else am I missing for the LinkedIn strategy do you have? Other nuances we haven't gotten into yet?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, when it comes to LinkedIn, you always have to ask yourself with a filter, like, what is my purpose for using it? So in other words, you might work with, let's say I'm a copywriter and I work with coaches. Okay, well, then I can use LinkedIn to connect with my direct client, my direct ideal client, mm-hmm. and use it for the purpose of, can I, you know, provide some copywriting samples, or do you want to hop on a call, or, you know, that kind of process. But if I'm a health coach and I work with moms, there's no filter on LinkedIn to be like, hey, I'm looking for moms. You know what I mean? So whoever this health coach is, they would need to think about, how can I use LinkedIn to either get corporate lunch and learns to get in front of my ideal client? How could I form referral partnerships with people who have moms as their ideal clients? How could I get on podcasts that moms listen to using LinkedIn and search podcast hosts? Like, you'd be using it for a little bit of a different purpose. So collab partners or speaking opportunities or things like that. So that's right. a question to ask yourself before you develop your strategy and your LinkedIn script. Ask yourself, what am I trying to use this for? And then the third thing is, or whatever number we are on, would be make sure your profile is set up in a way that's really clear about what you do. So right below your profile picture, if you don't have like a clear in that little short summary bio about what you do, if you don't have anything there that's talking about like the key results you provide or anything that boosts your credibility or anything at all, you need to update that to be in 2 seconds. I can know like, wow, here's what this person can provide for me as far as results. And they seem interesting to me because blank. And, you know, same thing with like your LinkedIn cover photo and your bio and all that stuff. Like, you can use that space to be talking about your freebie or what you do or, you know, look professional.
Okay. So then would also like posting on LinkedIn, like normal posts, like I had a great session with my client. Then maybe like another day is like going hiking at a cool place. And then so that's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is like an offer. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the strategies you say for posting you would recommend, or I would just like, what's your formula?
Yeah. Yeah. So for posting on LinkedIn, I think it's very similar to broad content strategy, which is like, you know, there's a couple different types of posts you'll want to hit on. One is social proof. So going back to what you said about, okay, I want to talk about a client session today and their win that they had or their aha moment, or I want to share a testimonial today, or I want to share an interview I did with a client about their experience. Like those are a good type of post to cover at least once a week. And then you have the like educational value-based tips type of posts where it's like how I went from blank to blank. And you can always have a call to action in those kinds of posts. Like if you want to do this too, book a discovery call. Or if you want to go deeper, get my LinkedIn lead gen script or whatever. So that's always good. And then the third type would be something that boosts your credibility. So if you were on a podcast or you wrote an article about, you know, something in your industry or something, you can use those kinds of posts. Storytelling posts would be another one. That's a big one for the emotional based type of people in your audience who want to see like, how, you know, are you relating to how they're feeling? Do you understand them? Right. And so it is the same kinds of posts. The difference between LinkedIn though, and other, you know, Instagram, for example, is LinkedIn's a lower maintenance platform. So you don't have to post 3 times a day like you do in Instagram stories. Like it's not, I like that it's not like that. And I like that it's networking based. So people go to LinkedIn for business, for professional stuff, for networking. Like they expect that compared to other platforms. Sometimes people just go on there for entertainment, like TikTok. So it's an intentional platform. And then the other thing is you probably wouldn't share like your, you'd still share personal posts on your LinkedIn. So I do see, like I had a LinkedIn expert as far as content goes on my podcast, and his most popular post that got like millions of impressions or something crazy was a post he did about adopting his daughters. It had nothing to do with what he does professionally. It was just about his journey with that adoption and helping people who are looking to adopt. And it was like his most popular post. So the point is, you know, you can share personal stuff, but what you probably don't want to share is like dancing Instagram reels on LinkedIn. That's not the place for that.
Okay. You would know this better than me. Didn't LinkedIn at one point have like the Instagram shorts and then, stories.
And then Yeah. Yeah. So they did have stories for a little while. I don't know if they still have it. I do know now. Oh, really? Okay. I haven't checked. I didn't really use that much, to be honest, but I did use LinkedIn Live. LinkedIn Live is a great thing now. Everybody can do it. I use StreamYard to go live on LinkedIn. And
interesting. So do you do a lot of live streaming as part of your content strategy?
I do a decent amount. So what I do is any podcast interview I'm doing, I do it live so that I can repurpose it, but also use it as a live. And then sometimes I'll go live to like answer a common question I get or things like that.
Okay, cool. So yeah, like a Q&A session, like, hey, I'm going live Friday. You have my ear for an hour. Come on over kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. That's actually really good. Do you use a lot of like Russell Brunson's strategy for getting clients too?
I really like a couple things about Russell Brunson's strategy. I don't use everything that he talks about. But I love that he has that exercise of come up with your dream 100 list. Big fan of that. So what that means is write down a list of 100 blogs, influencers, organizations, potential clients, events, expos, et cetera, where your ideal client would be, and start to build rapport and make offers to do something collaborative with those people. So I do that. And then another one that I like about Russell Brunson, I don't use his exact webinar formula because I actually have a couple tweaks I think could have worked better for me, because I've done it two different rounds, one Russell Brunson's way, 100%, and one another mentor's way. And the other mentor's way worked a little better. But I like his perfect webinar script or templates as far as how he leads his webinars. I think those are really good. And I like that he's just omnipresent, and he's very good about being a balance of professional and personal. Like, he's not afraid to talk about his faith and things like that and scare some people off. But that's why he also has raving fans, if that makes sense. He's not afraid to be polarizing, and that actually helps him stand out.
Do you think the stance like that is important, especially in nowadays markets where you have to, like, being vanilla, you're not going to really get clients?
I think you can be vanilla. I mean, to be really honest with you, I'm not the best at, like, I'm super logical, very practical. I would never post like a picture of me crying or something on my Instagram. Like, I'm a very private person. So I'm pretty vanilla. But so I don't think it can, you know, isolate your business, but I do think that it will help help you be more of a magnet for the people who are a right fit for you. So, like, I do talk about, like, most people would know my values by looking at my social media. They know that I'm into personal growth, they know that I'm into family, they know, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that it doesn't kill you to not be polarizing, or you don't have to be polarizing for no reason if there's not anything controversial you really have to share. But it will. I mean, I'm sure Russell Brunson has probably stood out more than me because does that kind of stuff.
Well, I think this is my personal theory, and I've never had the chance to ask him in person. Maybe one day I will, but I think he revels in it. He likes everyone yelling at him because it's more impressions. Even if it's terrible, profane things, it's like, I've now successfully reached 2 million people.
Yeah. Well, you know who else is big about that is Grant Cardone.
That dude is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's good at just getting everyone's feathers all flustered and then just capitalizing on the ones that are still there.
Yeah.
Do you follow Grant Cardone's, some of his methods too?
I, in the very beginning of my business, I read his book, The Closer's Survival Guide. Okay. And it was a phenomenal book if you're new to sales. Do I agree with everything he says? No. Would I say some of the things that would come out of his mouth? Absolutely not. So I think it's about taking what's useful, discarding what's not, and making it your own, as the Bruce Lee quote says. But that was one of my best books I think I've ever read on sales. And it drastically improved my business when I was first starting out.
The big one for me is Zombie Loyalist.
Say that again?
Zombie Loyalist.
Ooh, okay. Who wrote that?
That's a good question. But it's essentially saying you treat your fans, like your customers, as a zombie. And like any zombie infection situation, you don't want them to turn against you, because then when one turns, they all turn, kind of thing. Wow. And it was just one of those. And then he was going through sales methods and like, you want a good CRM. And he's like, obviously, eventually you upgrade it to whatever you're doing. Loyalist. Peter Schenkman.
Okay. I'm going to look that up. That sounds good.
Yeah. And that was the big one for me, because he said, he's of a similar view as us. He's like, you don't have to be this crazy, like, always grabbing attention. He's like, tend to your like 5 loyal zombies, and then they'll go out and infect others, like the symbolic, like they'll go out. And then it'll get to the point, there's so many, you're going to be like, okay, enough. I'm good. I get it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. I like that.
He has this cool, I guess it would be like his lead generation. Like, if you actually listen to the book, and he usually says it near the end, he's like, if you have any questions, literally just shoot me an email. I'll reply to it. He's like, obviously, if it's something stupid, I'm not going to reply to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, probably like, what's your favorite color?
Right, right. Totally. It kind of, that concept kind of reminds me of the 1000 True Fans. I guess, I don't know who came up with that. Was it maybe Keith Kelly or Tim Ferriss, or I don't know who it was, but somebody said, if you have 1,000 true fans, you can have a sustainable business. Like, if you have 1,000 true fans who pay you $100, you're at $1 million business. So like, it's all about starting with the grassroots, like lowest hanging fruit, people in front of you, and really building up your tribe and community, and how that can spread, and how if you create a community and tribe around your brand, it becomes a lot easier to be growing, you know.
That's true. Yeah. And I think a lot of people in general, coaches, content creators, take that. They just build for their 1,000. And then obviously, if there's more, that's great. But it's like they are always talking to their 1,000 followers kind of thing.
Yeah.
And at least for me, that seems the most stable and sustainable one.
Right. Yeah. Especially organic marketing. If you're doing organic marketing, you have to, you know, be very relationship building oriented and very word of mouth oriented, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So do we want to go into like the actual copywriting stuff you do or anything else?
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about whatever your audience struggles with. So if they struggle with how do I structure my content, or how do I speak to my niche in my content, or if there's anything related to business, marketing, time management type of questions, we can definitely go into.
Definitely. So let's actually do, especially the speaking to my audience. That's a big one. The few actual guests that email me, they say that they're like, oh my God, I like, thank you so much, but what am I don't know what I'm supposed to say, kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a process, and I have another freebie for this. It's a content roadmap. But basically it takes you through a process where you could come up with your 30 ideas for your ideal client in posts. And how it works is you come up with it can be anywhere from 2 to 4 pillars or themes that you want to be known for. So let's say for mine, it's marketing, sales, time management, and mindset. Those are like the main things I kind of talk about. And underneath each of those, write down key problems, quotes, questions, issues, excuses, goals or dream outcomes that your ideal client would have. And if you're not sure what that is, you have to do a little bit of research and ask them, or think about past clients, or look on forums and support groups and stuff to see what people are talking about, right? So come up with those ideas. And something to help your brain if you get stuck on this is thinking about, like, inside of their mind, what are their issues or excuses? This is kind of a Russell Brunson thing. He talks about internal problems, external problems, and then vehicle problems. Internal problems are mindset, limiting belief problems that your ideal clients have within what you do or what you coach on or what you teach. External are things like time, things like the people around me, or it's their fault or their problem. Like what external things do people blame in your niche? And then the vehicle ones are things that objections or issues that people would have with the way you help them get to the dream outcome. So if you are a health coach and you talk about meditating or something, and you know your ideal clients would be like, or you know, people who check out health stuff feel like, oh, meditating is so boring, I'm doing it wrong, why bother? That might be something you address in your content, or like anything they'd have to the vehicle, like objections they'd have to how you help them get there. So once you brainstorm underneath your pillars, the top issues and things like that, bullet points, you then want to take those and turn them into hooks or headlines for posts. And the best news ever is, like, you can probably turn one idea into like 8 different posts. So for example, if I wrote under one of my pillars, I wrote one of the excuses my ideal clients have when it comes to, let's say I'm a, I don't know, let me think of an example. I'm a copywriter or something. And people who have, for example, a vehicle objection is they think they need a business coach and not a copywriter. When really what they need is a copywriter, because they know their business message, they know what they offer, and now they need somebody to write their launch emails or something. So I might make a post with a hook or headline like 3 signs you need a copywriter. That'd be one post. Or three reasons why, how you know if you need a business coach versus a copywriter. And that'd be another idea. Or it'd be like, now you might come up with a story hook from that. Like, why hiring a copywriter for my client Jane was the best business investment she ever made, or whatever. And so like you can come up with ideas from those things you wrote down in your big brain dump. And then it's time to structure the post. So once you have like a couple hooks or headlines, the structure you would use for posts, you can decide if you're going to share it in a video, you can decide if you're going to share the message in a reel or a written post or whatever. But regardless of what you choose, you'll usually follow a general structure of giving the hook. Then you'd go into either establishing credibility or agitating the pain point. And then you'd go into the body section of the text where you actually deliver the message, the tips, the story, whatever it is that is the main part. And then you would go into a call to action. That's kind of the simplest. Now, are there more refined ways to deliver your posts? And can you Google copywriting formulas to do that? For sure. But that's one that I think to start with content, people just need to simplify it. So they actually do it and get in the practice of it and get in the practice of thinking how a post works before they get all fancy about like using some of the more sophisticated copywriting formulas.
Yeah, you definitely just need to have the habit, like do it for like a month or two, just posting, not even caring about the results. Just then once you get the habit, like you said, then you could like call someone like you, be like, okay, what's your formula again? So I can actually get better lead generations.
Yeah.
So I'm just really curious for you. Do you use like something like Buffer to schedule out all your posts for the different platforms? Or do you actually like go in and post it?
I go in and post it because on each platform, they like it better. They seem to like it better when you post it natively in the app. The algorithm does. So if I, you know, post directly in Instagram, it might get more views than if I were to schedule it in Buffer first and then do it. But I say do whatever you can actually, you know, how you can get the post out, just do it. So if that means right. You need to schedule it with Hootsuite or Buffer or Later or whatever those apps are, go for it.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I was using Buffer like religiously for like most half of November, first part of December last year. Mm-hmm. I mainly used it for TikTok because I'm like, every time I get in, like there's instantly 40 minutes gone kind of thing. Yeah. And I noticed I have a consistent 300 viewers there. But every time I would post on Buffer, barely gets 50. And I was like, they don't like that at all.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm just curious for you then, especially the time management part. Do you have a special offer for that one too?
I do.
Heck yeah, there we go.
I have an overwhelm cheat sheet and masterclass to help you overcome what's bothering you the most when it comes to what's on your to-do list and, you know, overthinking every step and being a perfectionist. Because I think when it comes to time management, like actually blocking things into your calendar and doing them is pretty easy. But what gets in the way of that is distractions and overthinking and perfectionism and, you know, how long is this going to take me and making it this big dramatic thing and not breaking things down. And so I think the key is to be able to manage your mind and your time together and know that however much time you give yourself is how long things are going to take, or give yourself more time than you expect and then learn how long things generally take you and keep refining from there. So like for me, a huge time management tool that I use is an app called Toggle. It's spelled T-O-G-G-L. And it allows you to track your time for the week, how much time you're spending on different activities. And then at the end of the week, it sends you an email with your summary report for the week. And it's been so useful for me because I've been able to see, like, first of all, when I'm timing myself to do something, I'm not going on Facebook. I'm not scrolling. I'm on a timer. So I have to pause the timer. If I'm going to go get a drink or do something else, I need to pause it because I'm not actually doing the task. So it gets you more aware of like when you're getting distracted, number one. And then number two, it allows you to look back at your week and be like, why the heck did content take so long this week? And then you're like, oh, well, because, you know, such and such happened, or I got sidetracked or because I didn't have a plan or whatever. But it allows you to become more self-aware about what's maybe taking you so much time and how you can amplify or streamline or fix your processes a little bit to be improving how you're spending your time each week.
Yeah, that's the biggest one for me. I'm just curious on a side note. I'm sure you have a very good answer for this. How do you calculate the unexpected hiccups? Like you're going to work and there's a unexpected amount of construction kind of thing.
Totally. So the thing I like to do is literally plan and understand that there's probably knowing your patterns, knowing emergencies, knowing if your kids, you know, tend to bother you a certain time of day more than others, like plan right. for that, plan that in there, like knowing that there might be one emergency this week. When's going to be my overflow time for if I didn't get everything done this week? Is that Sunday afternoons? Is that, and you might not need to use it, but it's kind of like a tool to be like, okay, I know that I might not hit all my targets within XYZ days or during this time because my kids might need me to pick them up from school, or I might have to run an extra errand I didn't expect or whatever. But kind of being like, okay, realistically, knowing that either I need to change my milestones for the week and expectations. So I'm not, this is another big thing people do is they overestimate how much they can do. And so then they let themselves, they beat themselves up when they don't do it. And then they skip time batching and doing this stuff all together because they're like, well, what's the point? Like I just keep letting myself down, and they beat themselves up so much that they fear getting better at this process. So my suggestion is plan for, make realistic plans. Plan that there's going to be some emergencies. You might not know when they're going to be. When is going to be your overflow time? And then knowing and kind of observing your weekly patterns and stuff, become more and more realistic about what you can do in a week.
So would also like grading the tasks, like this task is a rank one. This like mm-hmm. do or die. You got to get this one done this
yeah.
week. And then like four is like, if I don't hit it, it sucks, yeah. but it's not the end of the world.
Totally. So I have two ways of doing that. One, I have like my daily basics that are things like every day, I kind of want to, I want to tackle these things, or I have a target for the week, like three times a week, I want to do these things. And that's okay. a pretty short, you should make that list pretty short. Cause if you make it like 10 different things, it's going to be pretty elaborate and overwhelming. But I usually it's about four or five things for me. It's like, I want to, you know, work out for X amount of time each week. I want to make offers for collaborations, this many targets this week, et cetera, et cetera. Then I have like my separate list. It's not like I do these things every week recurring. It's more just like my list for the week where these are the things that if I don't do, there will be major consequences. Like if I do not renew my license this week, it will expire. And I'm
screwed.
Right. Yeah. So I like, though, that's where that kind of stuff goes. And then I have like a, you know, upcoming list where it's more like these things kind of need to be done, but it's not like if I don't get to it this week, there's not going to be major consequences. And then I have like a soon or someday list. And it's really important to have the someday list because for those of us who are entrepreneurs and we have a lot of ideas and we get excited about a lot of things and we have, you know, so many things we want to do, this is a great place to dump those ideas so that they're not staying in your head or like you're not jumping to this new shiny object just because it came to you this today. Like that's been really helpful for me to put things I want to do that I don't necessarily, that I shouldn't redirect my focus to at this time.
So is there like an option within Toggle or is there a different app you have for that to rank all these?
Yeah, that's in, I just do that in my phone notes, literally on my iPhone. Okay. Yeah, okay. Because the simpler you make it, again, if I had a spreadsheet doing this or something, I wouldn't keep doing it. So it has to be in my phone. It has to be accessible. It has to be easy.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes most sense. It's in here. Like, do I need to carry my moleskin all the time and have a pen?
Yeah.
That's going to be really inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. All right. That's awesome. Like, I guess it would be the calendar structuring then. Like, how would you structure? Do you use Google Calendar or Apple Calendars?
Great question. Yeah. So I actually use both, which is probably not the best idea. I should probably just use one, but they all kind of incorporate with each other. So my meetings go into Google Calendar, and then anything I have to remind myself personally, I put in Apple Calendar, and I kind of just share both calendars with each other. But the daily scheduling, I'm glad you asked this part. So once you have your weekly notes in that phone notes app or wherever you want to keep them, every day, what I like to do is I like to, in the morning, ask myself, like, what's my wish list for the day? So what would be all the things from this list that I would just love to do? And like, it would be great if I could get all these things done. And then from there, I go to my Google Calendar or wherever I have meetings blocked out and stuff. And I see first, what are my obligations today? So in other words, I know like from 4 to 6, I'm going to have to run these errands. I know from 2 to 4, I have client calls, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So you put in your meetings for the day and all that stuff first. And then you see what's left over to put in the stuff on your wish list. And you see which things from your wish list have to be deprioritized and which things are actually going to fit into today. What most people do is they write a to-do list, but they don't account for like driving time and like, you know, how long it's going to take to write the email. Or they just put like update website, which is like a huge task compared to just saying like update the homepage on my website today, or just like update the top of my homepage today. Like, yeah, they need to break things down and then actually put it in the calendar if it's going to get done, versus just having like a list with no plan of where it's going to go or how long it's going to take or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially if you're doing it like through WordPress, you need to know a lot of coding and stuff. Unless you're going to pay the thousands of dollars for the aftermarket stuff, yeah, that's going to take some time.
Yeah, well, and another mistake I see too is like people will be like, oh yeah, I'm going to set up this. I've never set up an email landing page before, but today's going to be the day. And they don't plan any steps to research how to do that. They're just like, it takes 4 times longer than they think it was going to take, because they just thought like, oh, I'd go in and figure it out in an hour. Well, no, you need to plan the pre-steps even to do that, so you're not setting yourself up for failure.
No, 100%. Yeah. I'm just curious, for you, what is like a CRM you recommend for your clients, especially being coaches?
Yeah.
So you get that question a lot.
I have 2 different answers for this, depending on where you're at in your business. So if you're very new and you don't have a really big email list or anything like that, and you're doing private coaching and don't have like any courses or anything like that, I would just say MailerLite, the free version, is good enough to do your email list, keep customers logged, and you know, have that. If you're trying to be more, fancy and have more versatility with your customer, your CRM system, I would say Kartra is a good one. That's what I use. So I host all of my courses on there. I have my email list on there. I have some landing pages I can easily make in there. That's where I put my funnels. It tracks things for you, so you can see like a lot more stats than MailerLite. MailerLite still tracks your stats, like your open rates and click-through rates and stuff like that, but it's not like, you know, as intense as Kartra. So that's what I like personally.
Okay, I would definitely have to talk off air, because I tried Kartra, but my biggest problem for them is they wouldn't hook up my main domain to the actual the thing. Like, oh. So it kept saying like joshvolton.kartra.com.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so you'll have to set up a redirect link from your domain name to go to the Kartra link, if that makes sense. So it's kind of backwards. So rather than in Kartra setting up your main domain name for your landing pages, you'd have to go to your whatever you use for your website and set up a domain name like, you know, josh.com/freebie. And then you'd say in your website, I want this to redirect to my Kartra link. That's the messy Kartra link.
Okay. Because I did that, and I even had a mentor paid him, like, he was doing like a cool group call thing, but he even sat there and he's like, I don't get it. Cause we did it 1 week. He said, like, give it 2 days to like go through the internet and all that, and you should be fine. I actually personally called him on the side. I'm like, it's not there. And so I actually called Kartra. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh, sorry, this happens every so often. We don't know what to do.
Oh, weird. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. There is a way to do it within Kartra. And I did that once when I was doing an ads campaign, and I had my ads team help me with it, and they figured it out. But for the easier route, I just like to set up a redirect link from my website to go to Kartra. And then the link still is the Kartra link, and that's fine with me. But I don't have, when I'm on a show or something, I could say, go to HaleyRowe.com/salesjournal or something. And then it will redirect to the Kartra link automatically.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. That's running out of words and ideas. This has been an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was super fun.
It was. I do have the three usual going out questions. So other than work during these lockdown COVID times, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy and entertained?
Yeah. So I love podcasts, love learning, love walks. So I tend to combine those things. I like to go on nice long nature walks and listen to learning stuff. And then I also sing. So I sing in a wedding. Well, I used to sing in a wedding band all the time. And now I sub for them because work got a little busier and I wanted to take weekends off. but anyways, I love singing, love music. So that's definitely a pastime for me. And then, you know, friends and family, all the basic things. And I also really enjoy self-care stuff. Like I love my sauna. I have a little sauna dome thing.
I'm pretty nice
about that kind of stuff. And yeah, I love cats. I love, games.
How many do you got? How many cats?
Well, my family has 4 cats. I don't have any cats right now, but, I do visit with them a lot.
Okay. They're my adopted cats.
Mm-hmm.
So someone that's inspired by you wants to go down a similar path. What are some tips, trick, or advice you give them to start down there?
Yeah. So if you want to start down the track of being a coach, or being an entrepreneur, or?
Yeah, like coach, entrepreneur, like where you are at currently.
Oh, okay. I would say a couple things. One, develop the skill of befriending failure and uncertainty. So you're going to have to put in work and plant seeds that you're not going to know the outcome of yet. Unlike, you know, usually in a job, in a day job, if you're conditioned to that, you're given your responsibilities, you're given what you need to do each week. And if you kind of do those things, you're pretty good, you know, versus when you're an entrepreneur, it's up to you. You kind of have to do trial and error and guess and test and see what works and what doesn't. So make sure you're making time for evaluation. Make sure that you are open to that process of the more failures I'm open to having, the faster I will see success. The second thing is learn how to manage your time and yourself. So again, as an entrepreneur, you don't really have the luxury of like overthinking everything, being a super perfectionist, analysis paralysis, getting distracted easily. Like these are habits that you kind of don't have as much room for because you need to focus on moving things forward, getting things out there, learning from doing, right? So, creating more than you're consuming and putting yourself out there is something you got to do. And then lastly, I would just say, these kinds of things like podcasts and having a mentor and, you know, like I have a program called the Inner Circle and it's a group coaching program and we mastermind and we do coaching and all that kind of stuff. And it can be very helpful to have a community or not be lonely when you're doing this. So listen to podcasts like these to have mentors in your ear, be parts of community and look for opportunities like that so you don't feel so lonely on the journey.
It can be the major crusher of someone. It's definitely the lonely part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've mentioned it a few times, but double wrap up. If everyone wants to contact you out, where do they go?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Haley, H-A-I-L-E-Y underscore Rowe, R-O-W-E. And then I do have that LinkedIn freebie. That's the script where you can get the collab script and then also the direct to client script. That's at haleyrowe.kartra.com/page/LinkedIn. I don't have my redirect link set up, like I mentioned, Josh. But if people want that, they can just mention LinkedIn in my DMs or something and I'll send it to you. But I also have the Health Coach Nation Facebook community. It's free. It's for coaches who want to grow their business. And then I have the Health Coach Nation podcast. And then haleyrowe.com is my general website.
Awesome. Absolute honor and pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? If you do it on Apple and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.